The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
Then it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it. Right, good day, Tokers and Tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Thursday, January 17th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We're so glad you could be here today. All sorts of great news we have to get to, and a great guest to bring you on today's show. At half past the hour, we are joined by the Martha Stewart of marijuana herself. Cheryl Schumann will be joining us from Rapid Fire Marketing and the Canna Sig. She recently appeared on the Ricky Lake Show with our good friends Brandon Krensler and Aaron Purchase, the parents of Brave Michaela. They were talking about the use of medical marijuana for children and to treat cancer. We'll get the latest from Cheryl on what's happening, what it was like on the Ricky Lake Show, and the latest products that are out there to help people that want to treat their conditions with cannabis. All sorts of great stuff. You don't have to smoke it anymore. It's all sorts of great ways to vaporize that we'll tell you about. Also on today's show, we got time for a little bit of a radical rant. We've got another case of canicide by cop. That's when cops shoot dogs, oftentimes in the back in the service of their duties. And we're going to take a look at this case that's happening out there in Colorado, as well as a look at some other cases of canicide by cop that really, really piss me off. Also on today's show, it's Groovin' Thursday. So for our Daily Toker Tunes, we got a song for you today from a group whose name tickled me, and I thought we'd play their song. They're called Guilty Simpson. I thought that was a great name, so we'll play a little bit of that. Also on today's show, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at what's going on here in my home state of Oregon, where the Marijuana Policy Project is beginning to make some moves to lay the groundwork for legalization in what they would like, and that is 2016. We'll talk about that and take a look at their latest actions here in the state. But before we get to all of that, we've got to get to your 420 radio news, and in the headlines today, all sorts of interesting things. We have some breaking news on Iowa and a new medical marijuana bill that's been filed there. Mason DeVert responds to calls to make Colorado's marijuana possession for citizens of Colorado only. Uruguay is moving forward on their marijuana legalization law. Montana police want a per se DUID limit, but a judge blocks some parts of the new Montana medical marijuana law. And in Bremerton, Washington, they've decided to ban collective gardens. All of that, plus we visit with Brian the Red here in the studio, and in hour two, we take your calls on Toker Talk Radio at 971-533-7111. Also, stick around for how you can win a prize package from the band Slightly Stupid on tomorrow's Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. It's all coming up on The Russ Belville Show.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420-friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to The Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
K California is the center of marijuana consciousness. That's why High Times Magazine is returning to the Golden State for our second High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Los Angeles. That's right. Come to LA Center Studios on February 16th and 17th for this high-flying event. Meet the medical cannabis industry, visit our extra special medicating area, and sample the best cannabis products of Southern California. There'll be cultivation seminars and presentations about getting pot legalized, not just in California, but everywhere. Be there on Saturday evening when we host a Rock'em Sock'em concert with surprise musical guests. And don't forget Sunday night and the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup Awards when we honor the best sativa, best indica, best hybrid, best concentrate, and best edibles of the LA medical cannabis scene. Plus, we present the High Times Lifetime Achievement Award to marijuana superstar Tommy Chong. Come to the City of the Angels on February 16th and 17th for a High Times Cannabis Celebration. Go to MedCanCup.com for details. Live the high life. Be proud of who you are. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
Suddenly feeling wisely fungible.
There isn't a sharp line dividing humans.
Or maybe fungibly wuzzy.
It's a very wuzzy line. It's a very wuzzy line. It's getting wuzzier all the time.
Sometimes it's hard to tell.
We find animals doing things that we, in our arrogance...
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on American citizens, non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. I've said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Thursday, January 17th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Mason Tavert says limiting pot sales to Colorado residents would be unconstitutional. This from westword.com. Should marijuana pot shops in the state be limited to Colorado residents? This was one controversial debate to emerge this month as the governor's task force began its work dedicated to implementing Amendment 64. But Mason Tavert, one of the law's proponents, says there shouldn't be a debate at all, arguing it would be unconstitutional to prohibit out-of-state adults from buying pot. He believes it would also be bad public policy. Quote, "It's entirely unconstitutional and will just subject the state to costly litigation," says Tavert, a marijuana policy project and critic of Project SAM, an organization that opposes legalization. He continues, quote, "The Constitution now includes language saying that these stores have the ability, the right, to sell to consumers 21 and older. Consumer is also now defined within that as someone who is simply 21 and older." Uruguay pushes for marijuana law despite polls, this from ABC News. In tiny Uruguay, parliamentarians are aggressively pushing for a law that will get pot fully legalized at the national level. Uruguayan Senator Sebastian Sabini told ABC Univision, quote, "There is no real alternative. In Uruguay, it is clear that illegal drug consumption has increased in the last 50 years with prohibition, even as we improve the quality of repressive aspects," end quote, added the senator, whose party, the Frente Amplio, has a comfortable majority in Uruguay's parliament. The proposal would enable Uruguayans to buy up to 40 grams of weed per month from state-authorized distributors. The marijuana law would also create a National Institute of Cannabis, which would invest profits from pot sales in crime prevention and anti-addiction programs. In the poll conducted by CIFRA back in December, which reportedly prompted President Mujica to delay the marijuana vote, 7 out of 10 respondents over the age of 45 said they rejected the possible legalization of the sale of marijuana in Uruguay. 6 out of 10 respondents who are over 30 years of age rejected legalization, and even amongst youth, people between the ages of 16 and 29, 53% of respondents said they were against the legalization of pot. Montana police seek marijuana impairment test for drivers, from BillingsGazette.com. Lawmakers on Thursday were considering a renewed effort to test drivers suspected of driving under the influence of marijuana, a measure law enforcement agents said is necessary to deal with an increase in such cases. Republican Representative Doc Moore of Missoula said his House Bill 168 provides a legal limit for the amount of THC at 5 nanograms per milliliter of blood and in the ingredient of marijuana that can be in a person's blood while operating a motor vehicle. There was no immediate action on the proposal, which died last time the legislature met in 2011. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Creighton Kern said he needs to see scientific proof this time that there is a connection between THC levels and impairment. Sarah Brasseth, a forensic toxicologist at the State Crime Lab, acknowledged that there is still controversy about marijuana impairment. Also in Montana, a judge blocks part of the medical marijuana law, from Helenair.com. A Helena district judge for a second time has issued a preliminary injunction to block parts of Montana's more restrictive 2011 medical marijuana law from being enacted. District Judge James Reynolds late Wednesday blocked portions of the law that prevented a medical marijuana provider from growing medical marijuana or producing related products for more than 3 cardholders. He also stopped a provision of the law that prevented providers from being paid by cardholders for growing medical marijuana or manufacturing tinctures and other products. Finally, Bremerton bans collective marijuana gardens, this from the Kitsap Sun. On advice from its attorney, the Bremerton, Washington City Council on Wednesday night banned collective medical marijuana gardens authorized under a 2011 state law. The council had previously passed moratoriums to delay a decision on the gardens, which allow patients who are authorized to use medical marijuana to band together to grow plants. But the council sided Wednesday with city attorneys who advised that regulating and permitting the gardens might put city workers at odds with a federal government that views marijuana as illegal, no matter what the state law. And that's your 420 Radio News for today, Thursday, January 17th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we will go behind the headlines and take a look at the latest push by Marijuana Policy Project in the state of Oregon. This is the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, we've made a call on the controversial marijuana ballot question, Amendment 64. Floyd, we can safely say this is going to pass.
It is legal in the Constitution to possess and grow up to 6 plants.
You cannot be arrested for being in possession of an ounce of marijuana.
In the state of Washington, they voted to legalize marijuana, not for medical use, but for recreational use.
This is the beginning of taking apart prohibition one state at a time. That's how they did it 80 years ago against alcohol. That's how we're going to do it now against marijuana.
Yes, we are. Thank you, Rick Steves, and all of you who fought for marijuana legalization. We're going to push it
eastward from here and spread all across the country, we will get it legalized. So you just hang tight and keep fighting with us here at 420radio.org. Time for us to go behind the headlines. I want to give you a little inside information what's happening here in the state of Oregon, cited by many people as being potentially one of the next states to legalize marijuana. I received this email from the Marijuana Policy Project entitled MPP to host Oregon Town Hall with Congressman Blumenauer. Free public event will look at pathways to marijuana regulation in Oregon. The Marijuana Policy Project, the nation's leading advocacy organization focused on reforming state and federal marijuana laws, will be hosting a free public town hall from 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. at the Matt Dishman Community Center in Portland on Sunday, January 27th, 2013. The town hall, which I believe we will be at and live stream from, entitled Marijuana, Setting a Path Toward Regulation in Oregon, will feature special remarks from U.S. Representative Earl Blumenauer, Democrat of Oregon, who also happens to be my congressman. The panel will be moderated by Oregon MPP Representative Roy Kaufman. If that name sounds familiar, Roy Kaufman was the campaign director for Measure 80 here in Oregon during the 2012 election. The town hall will also feature insights and comments from Steve Fox, MPP's Director of Government Relations. Now, you may remember Steve Fox. He's also one of the co-authors of Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink?, along with Mason Tvert and Paul Armentano. He is also one of the key architects of the successful 2012 Colorado Amendment 64 campaign, which won with 55% of the vote. For more information or to RSVP, please send an email to oregon@mpp.org. If you are RSVPing, please include your name, affiliation, and city in the body of the email. And this comes from Kate Zawidski from Marijuana Policy Project. So they are having a free town hall Sunday, a couple of weekends away from here. We will RSVP for this and bring you the live coverage if we can. If not, we will tweet and report from it. But here in Oregon, this is a little bit of controversy that is going on regarding MPP's involvement in the state. And what it breaks down to is a question of 2014 versus 2016. And it's also a question of in-state activists versus out-of-state national organizations. And it's a story that's played out in other states as well, and to differing degrees. It's been a very successful partnership and coalition in some states, and it's been kind of contentious in other states. In my various roles in marijuana activism, I've gotten to talk to lots of people on both sides of the situation, both the local activists who sometimes feel like they're dismissed and set aside by national organizations, that all the hard work they did to lay the groundwork for legalization gets ignored and set aside when a national organization comes in with out-of-state money and out-of-state ideas as to how marijuana should be legalized. On the other hand, I also speak with people on the national side of things who sometimes will look at the local activists and their inability to, say, get their shit together and to provide a unified, on message, and very well framed argument for marijuana legalization. So I understand both sides of the argument here, and I'm hoping that in this situation, now that we have two successful state legalizations to look at, that we don't have to have these divisions between local and national activists, and that we can come together for a solution to all of the problems that we might experience together. Again, back to the issue of 2014 versus 2016. Again, I speak with people on both sides. 2016 is what I like to call a slam dunk. We could put anything, take that back, almost anything, on the ballot in 2016, and it is very likely to pass in the state of Oregon, especially after 4 years of pressure of money, jobs, talent, the, you know, economy flowing northward to Vancouver that we have to watch, all that tax revenue flowing northward to Vancouver, and after 4 years of the sky remaining in place in Washington State and Colorado, it'd be a lot easier sell in 2016. So again, slam dunk 2016. But I also understand the point of view that we have anywhere from 190 to 200 marijuana arrests in the state of Oregon every month. And that's even without, that's even considering that we have 1 ounce decriminalized and you can only get a ticket for it. Remember, Oregon's the only state where 1 ounce is a ticket, over an ounce is a felony. And so I understand activists who want to go to 2014. It might not be a slam dunk, but it's probably a mid-range jumper at this point, and something that could be passed, maybe not by a 55% majority, but maybe by 51 or 52. The history and the numbers are on the side of going with 2016 as far as it being a presidential election year and better turnout. However, with two states that have passed legalization and one of them just north of us, and Oregon having gay marriage and a governor's race on the ballot in 2014, I think the jury is still out on whether 2014 is actually a bad idea. Let's keep the momentum going.
Amen.
Now, regardless of how it turns out, I just want to see everybody on the same page. I just want to write the story that Oregon's got its shit together. That's all.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
You know, I've been playing rock and roll for a lot of years, and I've done it all. Now I do it without drugs. Hey, don't get me wrong, I still party with the best of them, but now I do it clean. You know, I'm on top of everything I do.
Funky Roller Ring.
Ooh, yeah.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy. And I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Oh, yeah.
Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
There's always a party at the Funky Roller Rink.
Last seven major party candidates to run for president, three of the last seven vice presidential candidates, and the last three presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. 23 after the hour, and for today's Groovin' Thursday, we're going to turn things over to some rap hip-hop music that I picked up off the IOTA promo net. And, you know, sometimes when I'm going out there on the promo net, I don't have a lot of time to listen to a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm just picking stuff off the names or the titles. And, you know, I'm always looking for weed tracks, reefer tracks, and so on. But this one just caught my eye from the name of the group. It's Guilty Simpson. I guess it's just one guy. Guilty Simpson. And I just loved that name. This was a digital release from December 6th of 2011, and the description that goes with it tells us that Guilty Simpson is a Detroit MC and all-around bad man on the mic. He drops two unreleased tracks over some underground producers from Detroit, California, and Texas. The track is called Close Curtains, and the particular mix we are going to hear is going to be the Boom Baptist remix. So we'll get this queued up here in just a second. Want to remind you also that you can get your tracks. If you got a band or a label out there that you'd like to promote, you can get your tracks to us by going and emailing me, Russ at RadicalRuss.com. Just drop an MP3 into the email. I'll give it a listen. And if we like it, we'll get you some promotion. That's what we're all about here at 420 Radio, is exposing the cannabis community. Oh, no, we're exposed. Anyway, here's our track from Guilty Simpson. This is Close Curtains, the Boom Baptist remix.
Yeah, yeah, Guilty Simpson. Saying what up to Butch.
What up,
Insect yo? Records, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Peace to my 10. Billy. Yo. 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 Yo.
I keep it lit all day in my comfort zone. At times I puff alone and tuck the chrome. For them same motherfuckers trying to get me. Still we live it up, red cups, toast Remy. Fresh off the block like Jenny. Some trick they cash, chasing bad Spanish chicks with ass. Me, playing low key, rather go where nobody knows me. Where I can chill and twist OZs. Mama had a winner. Yep. Rappers with no good sense, I slap it in ya. Yep. Gotta be something about me, back to center. Loyal fans that wanna see me destroy the jam. And so I oblige, rap's my 9 to 5. And anybody that knows me knows I'm on OT working. Ready to win, that's for certain. Block your shine, clean up and close curtains. What? Close curtains, block the shine, clean up and close curtains. Yeah, close curtains. Listen, I survive what survival don't occur too often. Bosses get killed and the ones who often gain temporary control and lose it when they realize it's more than just music. It's reality, murder for a salary, burners for the faculty, ready for the murderous to sack of me. Never back down when the homies clap rounds, it's a sad sight. Take a shit, give me that crown for the Motor City representatives. Yeah, the whole team more than just rapping. Salute your captains, y'all just acting. My faction wants it all, no fractions, morsels or portions. Turn a rapper to a headless horseman for not conforming to what I'm enforcing. If you ain't with me, you're against me. Grab the 40, then squeeze till empty. Don't tempt me. Signing off from Detroit, Michigan, worldwide. Peace to Insect Records. In the motherfucking house. Peace to the homie X Murder. Close curtains. Block your shine, clean up and close curtains. What?
If we're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana and the next thing you know, they got 10 years, they've got mandatory sentences, and these judges just say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, there's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club,
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the President, the Congress and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars. Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belleville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 29 after the hour, and joining us from her lush penthouse apartment in Los Angeles, California, Bel Air, if I understand correctly, it's Cheryl Schumann. How you doing, Cheryl?
I'm doing great. How are you, Russ? Hi, you're a friend.
I was just sitting back and enjoying my can of cig, as a matter of fact.
That's what I have right here.
Shameless plug.
We're sitting here. I was wondering if you'd be okay if I medicated with you.
Absolutely. Please do. We love that. So, so Cheryl, we got a clip of you. We played it on an earlier show where you're out at the Ricky Lake show. Can you tell us a little bit about what that was like?
Oh, it was great. First of all, I've known Ricky for about, 20-something years. I used to date her co-star on China Beach way back in the day.
Okay.
And then we had another mutual friend by the name of Dana Hill. So it was interesting because right about at the same time, I got a call from Dr. Janet Sweeney with the Rick Simpson Phoenix Tears Foundation, and she had told me about Michaela Comstock's story and her parents, Aaron Purchase and Brandon. And she called and asked me, she said, they're getting all of these calls from media and so forth. Would you mind helping them as a favor to me to kind of navigate the media? And so Brandon and Aaron reached out, and I have to tell you, it was just one of those kind of love at first talk kind of things, because I certainly understand what they've been through. And, when you see little Michaela, I mean, my goodness, she is just the sweetest little angel. You look at her and you just want to hug her and squeeze her and, just smother her with kisses. And so, I spoke with them, the parents, and, the most important thing for me when you're doing media is to make sure that you get your message out. So I sent Brandon and Aaron a wish list and kind of a guidance list of what they really wanted to accomplish, what their message was and so forth. And I also explained to them, the dangers, quite frankly, of being a public figure and being on the front lines, because once you cross that realm into being a public figure, as you well know, and we've had these discussions before, anyone can take a pot shot at you. They can say anything they want, and there's really not a whole lot you can do about it, which is sad, but that's just the way it is. So we talked about that, and we weighed everything out, and then Ricky called me on Sunday night, the day before we were supposed to go do our run-throughs and everything, and she says, oh my God, can you please bring can of cigs for all of us, and we were hoping that you could do a demo for us, which, of course, you know me, Russ, I'm all about video.
What? You?
Doing television, for 25 years. So for me, it was so funny because my friend Sam Sabazar, Sam, right?
Yeah.
From Marijuana 401. He was
right.
We were both like, you want me to come on the air and demo products and bring the kids? I call Brandon and Aaron the kids because I pretty much adopted them. And Sam and I were like, yes, this is so awesome. Because my dream really is for mainstream to take a look at us and say, oh my gosh, I can relate to them. I can relate to Brandon or Aaron. And when you see a child like Michaela, who's just so adorable, and you look at what she's going through, and anyone who knows the pain of cancer and chemo and radiation, I mean, your heart goes out to them. And so I think, when Ricky called me and she wanted me to do the demo and she asked me if I would be willing to tell my story also, I gladly accepted, and it was an honor and privilege. And I also brought in, of course, Dr. David Bierman, whom we all know and love, and brought in Michael Levinson into the audience, the attorney who's helped with Daisy Bram. And so what I wanted to do with the segment is to really create a very well-balanced segment from legal, medical, patient, and products, because I'm a firm believer, Russ, that if we build successful companies in this sector, those companies will then take their profits, reinvest in the cannabis community, and take us closer each and every single time to legalization, or at least the reform of marijuana laws. So I have to say it was a really great experience. I'm very pleased to say also that our video from the show is already in the top five of all time in less than a week. So I think that we've really touched on something, and I hope and I pray that I did a good job, and everyone out there is proud of me, because I know that sometimes in the cannabis community, we're divided as far as, what's the message, who's going to be the message deliverer and all that. But, I tried to, me, instead of my jeans and whatnot, I actually got dressed up in a suit, had my hair done, put some professional makeup on. And so I hope that people were proud of the job that that Aaron and Brandon did, and I really applaud their bravery for, you know, putting themselves out on the front line. And I hope that we did a show that everyone out there was pleased with. I mean, I think so from the feedback that I've received. So that's my hope. I just hope that with these media appearances and opportunities that we have, including the reality series that we're building, I hope that I'm making the community proud of the work that we're doing.
Well, I think it came off very well. You know, I was watching it here live and when it was here in Portland, it wasn't live, obviously, but watched it here in Portland. My wife watched it upstairs. We've got Brian the Red here, who's our engineer on the show. He's been interfaced a lot with Brandon and Aaron and Michaela. Been over to their place a couple of times, helping with the Pink Leaf shirts and all.
One time I was over at their place. But, yeah. I mean, it's really, you know, been an honor to be able to help them out. And, you know, really the story is, it's
compelling.
A great story, yeah. I mean, it's... Sorry, I got some food in my
mouth. Sorry, I didn't mean to catch you off guard there, but...
That's just the thing, you know, and I was, as I was telling Aaron and Brandon, it was really an honor and a privilege to sit beside two young people that were so articulate and well-spoken and dressed well, and I think they just represented really well, and I could not be more proud to be working with them. They're really wonderful people. It's a wonderful family.
Yeah, I was really glad that we were able to get them on our show here before, you know, they got that mainstream, you know, hit from all of these different, you know, vultures, kind of, as it were. You know, we were able to give them a little bit of warning and give them some
like the training wheels.
Yeah.
Well, no, you know what? You're exactly right, because, you know, there are things that could go wrong. For example, Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil, I love their shows, but they're not always exactly canvas friendly. I know that Ricky Lake is 420 friendly and she really believes in the cause. So I just felt as the first out talk show, and especially with Ricky giving the entire segment so much time, I just wanted to make sure that very first splash into the talk show arena was going to be a positive one. And I think that we accomplished that, you know, and they did a great job.
Yeah, I think you guys all represented very well.
We are thrilled by the segment, absolutely. And I just wanted to ask you about a few more things, because I know you've got a new website up, CherylSchumann.com, because there's so many things you're involved with now. It's good to have one kind of hub to get that information out. I'm sure they're going to be able to find these Ricky Lake clips up there, right?
Oh, yes. If you go to the blog, Ricky Lake show clips are on the blog. And yeah, I just got my website up. And in fact, it's still kind of a work in progress. The Ricky Lake show thing, it came up so unexpectedly. And when Ricky called me, she goes, "Oh, we've got to have you on right now, because I know you're getting all these other calls. And we've got to have you on now. And I was like, oh, God, I got to call and make sure my website's done. Yeah, because as you know, I'm not with Cush Magazine anymore. I've started my own ventures. And so, yeah, so I've got the website up, and, you know, I'm basically focusing these days on merging celebrity culture and cannabis culture, because, as you know, for 25 years, I worked in the film and entertainment industry and specialized in product placement for fashion, accessories, and consumer products. So I'm going back into doing that again. We're coming back on the third season of Wilford. Of course, you've seen and heard about Happy Trees with Mark Wahlberg coming up. And I have about six other feature films and TV shows coming up. So I'm really getting into developing, you know, my own merchandising, as well as, I mean, I would really like to see Michaela and her family come up with their own brand, like a Brave Michaela brand of hoodies or shirts or something like that. As you know, one of the biggest problems that patients have, as well as a lot of the nonprofits, is funding. That's the biggest problem. So one of the things I hope to accomplish this year and moving forward is to basically become the Girl Scout cookies, if you will. What the Girl Scout cookies are to Girl Scouts, I hope, and have plans in the works to develop products so that we can aid with some of the nonprofits. We've already partnered with Michaela and her family, as well as Moms for Marijuana, and that was announced recently. So what I'm hoping to do is to enable those groups who are so well deserving of funding. I'm hoping that they can basically engage their social media databases and their supporters, you know, maybe it's to buy a little stash jar with Moms for Marijuana or Beverly Hills Cannabis Club or a vaporizer or a grinder or all kinds of branded merchandise. And since I have the opportunity to do product placement in these TV shows, I think it's an excellent opportunity to not only, you know, create more successful businesses, but also to give these nonprofits the help that they need in fundraising, because they have great missions. Like to see them accomplish them.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking as one of those nonprofits with a mission, I concur. Absolutely. We're speaking with Cheryl Schumann. She's a representative for the CannaSig with Rapid Fire Marketing. You can find them on the pink sheets at RFMK. And that's another issue that I wanted to get to, was this merging of the business entrepreneurial side and them understanding that they need to support the nonprofits and the organizations that are going to make their business legal. So explain a little bit about that with RFMK.
Well, I have to tell you something. That's one of the things that I'm so proud of, because as you know, Russ, you kind of are the person that put me into Beverly Hills Normal. So I'm really an activist and a patient first. Of course, you know, I've been a businesswoman practically my entire life. I've been an entrepreneur my entire life. I've built companies up to revenues of $22 million. So the good thing is, you know, leaving Kush, I built them from $150,000 in revenue to $6.5 million within an 18-month period. And now that I'm on my own building my own companies, I plan on doing that again. I mean, I thank God. First of all, I want to send a special thank you out to Rick Simpson himself and Dr. Janet Sweeney and her husband, George, who were kind enough when I was so desperately ill to not only take me to the doctors and take care of me, they even paid for my doctors at that time, because anyone going through cancer, you know, it can crush you financially. So now that I'm in a better position financially where I can give back, my focus, now that my health is stable, I mean, I'm not miraculously cured, but I'm stable and my quality of life is good. So my focus is, especially since I'm now working in the publicly traded sector, that's the great thing about working in the publicly traded stock market. Anyone can invest in these companies, whether it's my company or another company. And I truly believe that by supporting these companies who build successful businesses, you build them to build revenue to give back to the community. And I'm very proud to say that out of all of the companies that I know that are publicly traded, the only one that has an activist as the spokesperson and the head of it is RFMK, and that would be me, Cheryl Schumann. And
our studio audience loves that.
Thank you. And, you know, I do have to say that, you know, before I accepted the position, I made it perfectly clear, and quite frankly, everyone that I work with, I always make it perfectly clear that we have to support the activism communities and the patients in them. And when they need us, you know, like, for example, with Brandon and Michaela, they can't afford to pay for a publicist. I mean, a publicist is 10 grand a month,
yeah.
You know, so thank God I have an amazing company like RFMK that people can invest in, and they can allow me to take that time and to volunteer that time to people like Brandon and Michaela and Aaron, and also, you know, the Phoenix Tears Foundation and so forth. And so that makes it really good for me, because I can give my time and help them get their mission out. And it does good for the community. It's also building goodwill for the company, because I think that our investors really appreciate that they see that we're out there doing good for the community. And it makes me feel good, because I know I'm doing the right thing. And at the end of the day, for me, this is all about karma. It's all about leaving a legacy behind. And it's about, like I said, building successful companies so that by 2016, we're the Rite Aids or the CVSs of the world. And not only have we done for the good for the community, we're building corporations in what is now considered to be, what, a $47 billion potential business. And with that business, Russ, as you know, comes jobs. And I'm really looking forward to creating more and more jobs. We're going to be announcing coming up in the next few months a lot of developments in that area. So I would say, to all of you, please stay tuned and check out CherylSchumann.com and RFMK, because there's a lot of really exciting things coming up that we're working on. And I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of the team we've put together. And Russ, you know, I'm planning on trying to figure out a way to work with you, whether we build our own CNN network of cannabis news or whatever that might be. But I feel like I've been very blessed. And Russ, you're one of those people that I feel very blessed to know. And I consider you a brother and a friend. And I think that we're well on our way. I think that the election was a tipping point, and I think we're well on our way to changing the world, and it's going to happen. It is happening. It's happening right now.
Yeah, we've done it. We legalized in two states, and the world has changed. And, yeah, thanks for that. You know, we've got 420 Radio that we're doing now, 420radio.org, nonprofit radio platform for all activists to host their podcasts and video shows and blogs. So we'll talk a little bit more about that offline. To let you go here, the one last thing we got to talk about, you know, TV, movies, all that kind of stuff. We mentioned the Wilfred show. That is that coming back on soon? Is it back in
May? Yes, we're back for season number 3. So I'm really excited. I want to talk to them about starting to write more into the script about actual cannabis storylines. And I'm also very pleased to announce that I just signed with literary agent Mel Berger. And I have a book in process. In fact, I'm getting ready to leave for New York to meet with him within the next week. But Mel Berger is my new book agent, and William Morris Endeavor, who's packaging my TV shows and the feature film based on my life story in the book, are literally the same team that packaged Bethany Frankel and Aaron Brockovich and Mark Burnett and Donald Trump and all those folks. So I feel... Wow. I have to tell you, I feel so blessed. And like I said, I've built a really nice advisory team. So I make sure that I do the community proud and make you proud of me too, Russ. And you know, I just want to do a good job for everyone and make sure that I stay on topic and stay on mission and mission accomplished.
Yeah, yeah, let's hope so. And gosh, a book agent. I know a guy who could use a book agent.
Well, we'll talk. I mean, that's what I'm doing, Russ, is I'm really building a team and a family. And I want to bring not just my story to life. I mean, that's my story. But my God, there are so many amazing, compelling stories of patients out there. You know, on the Phoenix Tears website, phoenixtearsfoundation.com, Patients Out of Time, you know, the Michaela Comstock story, the Daisy Bram story. There are just some amazing, compelling, tug at your heartstring stories. And, you know, my dream within my own company is to have our production company be the ones that tell those stories, whether it be on the Lifetime Network, HBO, NBC, Movie of the Week, feature film. I don't care. I just think it's important to get those stories out there, because the more people hear about the real people behind the scenes of this movement, the faster we'll have change.
I agree. And I think the stories are very compelling. There's a million stories in the cannabis community, and yours is one of them. And we're so glad that you got to tell it here on the Russ Belville Show. And CherylSchumann.com, if you want all this information about the reality series, the Canna Sig, the Ricky Lake Show, there's so much out there. Beverly Hills Cannabis Club. You probably are one of the few people in the community who has as many hats as I do.
Oh, yes, yes. And please tell people if they want to stay up to date with what we're doing on events and socially, go to BeverlyHillsCannabisClub.com. When they ask you who invited you so you can get in, write in Cheryl Schumann, because I'm personally inviting you right now. I would love to have you all join us there and stay in touch so we can keep up to date with what we're doing in the entertainment world. That would be great.
Awesome. CherylSchumann.com helping us out here with the Michaela Comstock story and all this, the negotiating the realms of media and Hollywood and all that. Thank you so much for your expertise.
Oh, thank you, Russ.
All right. When we come back, we'll have time for a little bit of radical rant. Once again, Canicide by Cop. Oh, you know how I hate this one. Stick around.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yo, 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 what's good, doggy? I heard you're looking for that fresh slice. Ha ha, J-Love. Nah, nah, nah. What's this paper trail you handed me? Ain't you heard? J-Love's all paperless now. Credit or debit, fool? J-Love! Oh, yo, what's good, doggy? Looking for that green? Yo, I got you, man. I got the special. Check it. Yo, I got 223 bags for 53 bucks. Ah, man, nah, man. You trying to pull a fast one on J-Love? On J-Love? That's 23 bucks. You know 23 bags gonna win you 25 bucks. Ha, ha, ha. Yo, you got my money, little Bow Wow? hold up. You didn't get my text about my price change? Man, 23 bags on you, 25.35, man. Fuck you looking at? I ain't got no change. J-Lo! What up, Scooby? You looking for that sick perp? Check out my pinky ring. Yo, I'll give you a dub for $31. $24.87. Ace gonna run you about 123.34. 12.34.
4, 5, 6, 7.
Corey's gonna run you 542.67.
2, 3, 4, then 7.
22.45. Dime's gonna cost
1, 2, 3, duck.
Jay!
11.33.
No! 99! J love! It's a J!
Alright.
J love! Sup, Snoopy with Woodstock? Ha ha! J love! Yo, let me get some of that finest, you know what I'm saying? I know you ain't running from that shit. Yo, we about to smoke a blood! J love!
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah! Radical rant.
There you go, folks. Get a good look if you're watching on the webcam. That there on the camera is an officer in Colorado who is a real man. He's a real big man. You know me and these stories, I have to bring them up every now and then of a canicide by cop. And they're usually instances where the cops have pulled someone over or, you know, not pulled someone over, but gone to their home and, you know, serving some sort of drug warrant or something. And then one thing leads to another. A dog appears and, fearing for their safety and following proper police procedure, it becomes necessary to shoot these dogs. So this is the latest story. And this this cop is named Wilfred A. Europe III. Wilfred A. Europe III. Adams County, Colorado. And this was from Denver's CBSLocal.com. And the headline is Deputy Who Allegedly Shot and Killed Ziggy the Dog Involved in Previous Shooting. Now, let me stop with, you know, before we even get into that, a little pet peeve of mine. And that has to do with, you know, the way that we in the media have to say allegedly on things because, you know, person hasn't been convicted of a crime yet, right? But to me, it seems illogical to me when there is an action that happened to have to tiptoe around describing the action. The crime may not have been committed, but the action of this man holding a firearm in his hand and pulling the trigger and causing a bullet to enter a dog and kill it is not in dispute in this situation. Seen by multiple witnesses. So allegedly, shot and killed Ziggy the dog. No, cop shot and killed the dog. He's allegedly guilty of animal cruelty or whatever charge that might result from that. But there's no doubt that this man shot and killed the dog. All right, so let me get to the story. The Adams County deputy sheriff who allegedly shot and killed a dog Monday night has been involved in a previous fatal shooting. Multiple law enforcement sources have identified the deputy as 31-year-old Wilfred A. Europe III. The dog owner, Jeff Fisher, says Adams County deputies were responding to an alarm Monday night, but mistakenly ended up at his business. He said a deputy fired 3 shots and killed his dog Ziggy as the dog was running away from the officer. Big man. Big man. Multiple sources told CBS4 the deputy who shot the dog was Europe. Deputy Europe shot and killed a 40-year-old man last February as the man reached for a gun during a traffic stop. It later turned out the gun Don Cameron was reaching for on the floor of the car was a pellet gun. A critical incident team cleared Europe of any wrongdoing in that fatal shooting, saying Europe believed he and his fellow officers faced life-threatening circumstances. The district attorney ruled no charges would be filed against Europe. Now, as far as that story goes, I'm on the cop side there. A cop can't know it's a pellet gun. right? Got a guy pulled over. He's reaching down on the floor. You see something looks like a gun. If that's the way the thing went down, then, you know, if that's all true, then, yeah, I can understand that justification. Here's another human being with something you believe that is deadly force that could kill you. A dog that's running away from you is far from that. I would say it's almost the opposite. Almost the opposite. And it's even more disgusting when you take a look at this killer beast, this fearsome dog, this vicious animal that the cop had to protect himself from. Yeah, that's a vicious, vicious dog there. Kind of looks like he's wearing my suit, doesn't it? Vicious dog, Ziggy the dog. And there he is, the cop. Europe, Wilfred Europe III, who had to kill him. Now, court records also show that this cop, Deputy Europe, has had dog problems of his own. In August of 2003, he was cited in Denver and found guilty of a leash law violation. Okay, I could probably be found guilty of that. I let Ross go off a leash all the time. I could be cited. I could be guilty of that. All right. In 2004, Europe was cited for 3 dog violations, including failure to license an animal, but court records show the charges were dismissed. Okay, charges were dismissed. Apparently, he took care of it. Usually that happens, you know, if you don't have a license, they find you with your dog. They ask your license. You don't have a license. You get a ticket that says, you know, you got to get a license. You got to get the shots. And once you get them and you show proof to the court, they usually dismiss the charges, right? So I'm still cool with that as well. CBS4 attempted to contact Deputy Europe by phone and email, but he did not respond to the messages. On Europe's Facebook page, he has posted a picture of a sign that reads, "No trespassing. Violators will be shot. Survivors will be shot again." Or shot again and again if they are dogs that have survived the first 2 shots, apparently, for Deputy Wilfred A. Europe III. Now, the cops here, always in these circumstances, it always comes down to them getting suspended with pay, which he is right now, suspended with pay. And then there's some sort of investigation, and the investigation will find that the cop was acting according to procedure, that the cop had to defend himself for the possible injury and threat of this vicious, vicious animal, this vicious, vicious killer beast. That one. Yeah. Now, this is not an isolated incident when it comes to dogs that cops have killed. In fact, there is a blog about this. I'm going to post this in our chat room here for people if I can, although I don't think I'm logged in right now. But let's get logged in. And I will post this, but it's called Dogs That Cops Killed, and it's at dogmurders.wordpress.com, dogmurders.wordpress.com, and I hope I left the links on in the chat room for people to get that, dogmurders.wordpress.com. And I just wanted to give you a look at the place, because this is a place where people who are, you know, just suffering because of their beloved pet has been killed. And I just want to give you a look at some of these dogs and some of these stories, give you an idea of what's going on here in America. So let me get this a little enlarged so we can see it a little better. But dogs that cops have killed. Here's Belle, the lovely dog with her the young boy in between. A Vallejo police officer said he had no choice but to shoot when two dogs charged him. The officer had come to the home to investigate a case of identity theft filed by the occupant. The officer opened the front gate without asking permission, and the two dogs came around the corner. He said, quote, "They were aggressive. He felt they were trying to attack him, and in his defense, he fired 2 rounds, striking the closest dog. The 11-year-old Labrador mix, Belle, died immediately." Jack, here's Jack the dog who had to be killed. This from WCPO. When the Bullocks returned home from a family member's funeral, they found 3 bullets and a note from the police asking them to call about their dog. According to the police, Jack had gotten out, and when 2 officers tried to catch up, he nipped one of them. One officer tased the dog and then shot him 3 times. Yeah, that little puppy, that little cute little puppy there, tased 3 times and then shot and killed. Here's another one of the dogs, Baxter, an Australian Shepherd, fired at 6 times by police officers. There's Cisco, Cisco was playing in his backyard with his owner, Paxson, playing frisbee in the backyard. When Paxson went to grab something from his truck, a police officer arrived, drew his pistol, and pointed it at Paxson. He was responding to a domestic disturbance a few doors down, but had been given the wrong address. Cisco ran toward the officer, who shot and killed him. Paxton, why did you shoot my dog? Officer, why didn't you get your dog when I told you to get your dog? Paxton, I didn't know. I just came around the corner. You pulled a gun on me and told me to put my hands up. What was I supposed to do? Okay, but you knew your dog was back there, correct? I didn't know anybody was here. I was just walking to my car. Dogmurders.wordpress.com, folks. I'm Radical Russ for Brian the Red. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for Hour 2. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belleville Show. The Russ Belleville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes out.